Welcome to the Stories We Share podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories from several different people who are all following Jesus and the ways that he is working in each one of their lives. You'll hear stories of heartbreak. You'll hear stories of triumph and victory. In all of it, God is working out each one of our stories to show his goodness, his faithfulness, and his love. Our prayer is that you will find hope in the stories we share.
Church family, I want to welcome you to our Stories podcast. This is our third podcast that we've been able to record, and I'm very excited today for you to get to hear from one of our own, not only a pastor in the Alliance, but from one of our own members and now elder, Tim Allen. Our Stories podcast has a couple goals. One, we want to share testimonies of people in our church, of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, and the hope that can be found in him. But also stories of leadership, stories that will connect with the everyday life so that we all can grow closer to Jesus. So, Tim, I'm excited to have you today and want to welcome you onto our podcast. And we'll just start by having you share a little bit about who you are, a little bit about your family and kids and grandkids, and the list goes on. But go ahead and share.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Today, my wife Susie and I have been coming to CCC for about a year, and we have three grown children. One lives here in Lebanon, so what's one of the reasons we moved to Lebanon when I retired 4 years ago. And we have a son who lives in Maryland, and then our daughter lives out in California. We have 10 grandchildren. God's blessed us. We don't deserve it, but it's just been a joy to be grandparents, and that's a little bit about our family.
Awesome. Hey, back me up to if we were to be a part of the Tim Allen life growing up, what was your growing up days? Where were you born and raised? And a little bit about your family growing up.
Yeah. Well, I actually, because we're so close to Dayton, I have to go back before, I was born. My story really goes back to the fact that my parents were both raised in Dayton, Ohio. And as they grew up, my dad was from a home where his parents did not know Jesus. They were not believers and didn't have any interest in spiritual things. My mother, on the other hand, was raised in a very godly home. Both her mom and dad loved Jesus. They raised her in the church. In fact, my grandmother and grandfather went to the Burns Avenue Alliance Church in Dayton. And
where was that located at?
Downtown.
Downtown, okay. Dayton.
And it's currently the Hillside Chapel. Years ago, Burns Avenue moved out of town and moved to where Hillside Chapel is. Sure. So when mom and dad started dating and they got married in their college years, my grandmother, who died of cancer before I ever got to know her. But she was so burdened that my dad would come to know Christ, and she just kept after him and after him. She was persistent. I mean, She really was. She's, we all need to be like my grandmother. And so one time my dad kept telling her, I'm not interested. Don't ask me again. I'm not going to church.
Yeah.
And finally he made a deal with her. He said, listen, I'll go once if you never ask me again. So they had this deal, and what he didn't know was my grandmother had a whole group of people there at the church praying for my dad. So he went to this first meeting, and he had never heard the gospel before. Wow. He'd never really heard the simple message of Jesus' love for us, his death on the cross. And so he was amazed by it. I mean, it really grabbed his attention. And so he went back the second night, the third night, finally went forward and gave his life to Christ. And that little church in here in Dayton, Ohio. And so this is a place that, for me, is where it all started.
Sure.
Because once my dad trusted Christ, that set the trajectory really for our whole family. And so mom and dad had 10 children.
Okay.
I'm number 7 out of the gang. I always tell people 7 is the perfect number for God.
That's right. That's right.
Why I'm number 7. But, I have 9 siblings. Every one of them loves Jesus. every one of them married a Christian spouse, and my mom and dad had 33 grandchildren. So it's quite a gang. And but it all goes back to when my dad trusted Christ, and then he and my mom raised us to love Jesus. And I just can't thank the Lord enough for my heritage and the privilege. I know there's so many in our world today that don't have the privilege of being raised in a Christian home.
Yes.
But I did. And I can never thank the Lord enough for that.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. When you, your growing up days, as you went through those middle school and high school years, I mean, was there any moment along where you just felt like, hey, ministry may be a part of my future? Or when would you say it, you know, at some point when God kind of said, hey, I've got a path for you. We're going to see if you find it.
It's interesting. At my 70th birthday party a year and a half ago, they dug up a report that I wrote. I think I was in fifth grade, and the teacher gave the assignment, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
And I wrote my report on, I want to be a missionary doctor.
Okay.
And for some reason, God had just put that on my heart that, you know, missions is a wonderful thing, to go internationally and share the gospel, but also to be able to heal people's bodies.
Yeah.
To be able to offer that. So I moved in that direction all the way through junior high, all the way through high school. If anyone asked me, I'm going to be a missionary
doctor.
That's what
you're doing.
Went to Asbury College. I majored in biology pre-med.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I could not get into med school. The Lord just clearly closed the door on being able to pursue medicine. So I continued to pursue going overseas and serving there. And so after we got married, we went to Nyack, New York, and I was part of the, it was Alliance Theological Seminary, but way back in the day, it was Alliance School of Theology and Missions. We began to prepare for serving overseas. Okay. Then, you know, it's amazing how God will lead some people by opening doors.
Sure. For me, this is straight out of Asbury. You went out there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In Asbury, we went to Alliance Theological Seminary. And the Lord led me by closing doors, because he first closed the door on medical school. And then when we got to our interviews to go overseas, one of those was letting us know that the Alliance policy was, when you have children, when they get to like 6 years old, you send them away to boarding school. That was a very pretty much strict policy of the CMA. And we didn't say we wouldn't, but we had questions about
certainly struggled with that.
Yeah, we both struggled. And then they just, you know, said to us, well, if that's, you know, how you feel about it, the overseas is not for you.
Yeah.
So the Lord was clearly saying, I want you here as a local church pastor.
Yes. So you and Susie were married in college, or what, when, because you
we
had children
right
saved
after college, right
after
I
college.
Graduated first, a year later, she graduated. And right after she graduated is the summer we got married.
Okay. And then off to Nyack. So even, I mean, I would say a similar story. I never felt any nudge along the way, like, hey, someday, you know, you're going to be a pastor at a local church. That was never like a goal of mine. That was never I felt not probably not even a call, you know, that I would say on my life until later, much the same, where God opened and closed doors. Even at that point, I'm sure you have two, you would consider maybe even letdowns, a couple arrows shot at you thinking, I want to do the med thing. And then that didn't open up. And then you felt like, hey, God, you must be nudging me to go overseas. Was there ever a part where it's like, maybe ministry is not the thing for me? Or was it, did you ever have any thoughts like that?
No, I think it was pretty solid in my mind that God was clearly had his hand on me for full-time ministry. And my dad had been a pastor, you know, all of his life.
Sure.
Not that that necessarily dictates what you're, you know, supposed to do. But I had seen a man preached every week. My dad, you know, counseled people and loved people. And so that was the pattern. And God, I'm sure, partly used that to call me.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt he did. So when, tell me a little bit about then your pastoral journey, you know, the go out to Nyack, find out you're not going to be going overseas, and then find yourself in the local church soon after that. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I started here in Ohio. In fact, Northwest Ohio. I was in Lima for a couple years as a youth pastor.
Okay.
Cable Road Alliance. If any of you know the churches in the district, that's...
We're heading up there in a couple weeks, right? Yeah. For the district conference.
So we were there for a couple years and then took my first church in a little country church in way on the Indiana line called Edgerton, Ohio.
Okay.
Up by Toledo. And all the men in my church were farmers. My wife and I are both from the city. So this was a new experience for us. And we were there for a couple years. Then we went to Detroit, north suburb of Detroit, Troy, Michigan.
Okay.
And pastored there. And then we were on the East Coast for 30 years. We had always been here in the Ohio area, but we were in Maryland, church right on the Chesapeake Bay Island. Okay. Alliance Church there for about 15 years. And then our last church was in York County, just north of Baltimore. Okay. We were there 16 years.
Fantastic. Was any of those church plants or they were established churches when you stepped into those?
The church in Maryland was just getting off the ground.
Planted
about a year or two before, still meeting in a school building at the time. And we moved around to a lot of different rented facilities and went through that whole process. And it was, that's a unique experience.
Yes. Tell me what would be, some of my most admired pastoral or not, people, leaders, are those that just have longevity, in a role or in a leadership position. And especially, obviously, as a lead pastor here, those that have walked the lead pastor journey for many, many years. And, you've done that, been in ministry for 40 some years. And with ministry, there's great joys. You know, there's those moments where you just think, you know what, I'll stay in ministry for another week if God continues to do these kind of things. And then there's other times in ministry where it's like, I don't know if I can do this another day. You know, this is too heavy. This is too much. I'm not equipped. I'm not adequate. In 40 years, I'm sure we could stay on here for hours sharing stories of God's faithfulness and goodness. What would be, we'll start with the good first, some of those moments where you look back and you're just so thankful that God allowed you and your wife and your family to be a part of the goodness of God in that way. Would you have some specific things?
Yeah. Susie and I, when we talk about, favorite ministry or where we look back to as just some of the, they used to say glory days, when it was, was really good. Yeah. One of our, most treasured experiences was clearly in Maryland on Ken Island. It was there that we saw a church start from just being planted. Just barely taking root. Yeah. And then we saw that group of people develop. We saw entire families come to faith.
That's incredible.
We just saw people grow. We saw the church family grow in mm-hmm. number. And there was such a bond there. And we had such a connection to these precious folks. When we left, after about 15 years, God clearly led us away. When we left, that was the hardest thing that either of us have ever done in ministry, to leave that church family. We loved those people. They loved us. And it was just to see God at work in the lives of people.
Yes.
It was just amazing. Yeah. We've had many, many joys. I think one of the great joys was that when we were in Pennsylvania, the church there allowed us to take a number of trips overseas.
Fantastic.
And they supported us financially to do that. We were called to be the pastoral care couple in Burkina Faso.
Okay.
And for about 7 years, we took a trip over to Burkina every year. We got to know those missionary couples. We got to know their families, and just to try to be a pastor, because missionaries serving internationally, they're giving and giving all the time.
Sure.
But who is pastoring them? Who is really pouring into them?
Yeah.
So we were in a role to be able to do that. And
were these with people you had sent from your church and PA, or just?
Well, we actually had some connections from PA over to Burkina Faso, but okay. It was actually the missionaries on the field kind of vote together. We had spoken over there, and then they invited us to come officially as sure. their pastoral care couple for okay. the entire field.
Very good.
And so, I mean, just the church's generosity there to send us. When my daughter Carrie delivered their first child, they were in Thailand.
Okay.
And the church allowed us to go to Thailand and be there for the birth of Liana. That's and cool. and so I guess that was a huge joy to.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing to pray for missionaries and
That's right.
and to read about them and to keep in touch, but to be able to go and be yeah. there where they are and see where they serve, it was just priceless.
That's the game changer.
Yeah.
That's so good. I know you probably had as a second question many moments too, where, you know, just hard moments in ministry, whether those can be personal, but those also can just be with congregants walking through tough seasons with others. Would there be any of those that you'd be willing to share that you'd say, you know, this was difficult, but there was no doubt God was with us or with them in this season?
Again, when Susie and I talk about difficult moments, we've both agreed repeatedly that this one moment I want to share was the most difficult thing we've ever gone through in ministry. It's in our last church in Pennsylvania. Two families came to a real bitter disagreement. Mm. And we met with them separately. We tried to meet with them together. We did everything we could as a pastor and the elders of the church there yeah. to try to reconcile these two. And it was, I won't go into the details, but it was one of the craziest situations I've ever come across in sure. terms of what caused the disagreement. And it got to the point where we really knew we needed to bring in outside assistance. The Alliance has a ministry out of the national office called Peacemakers.
Yeah.
And we called them and said, is there anybody you can send here to help us with this dispute? I mean, these families are just at an impasse.
Sure.
We can't get through it. And the problem sometimes in a local church is that each of these two families have people on their side.
There's an interconnectedness with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so on the one side, you have people that are all for the one family. On the other side, you have people that are saying, no, you're right. You know, so the church is almost being divided over
yeah.
this thing. And it was just bad. So they sent out, the Alliance sent a couple who had been trained, had done this for many years.
Okay.
And they came out for 3 or 4 days. They met with these two families. They met with the leadership of the church, and they systematically worked through this and obviously used God's word and all
yes.
the scripture says. And honestly, it was not resolved. As far as I know to this day, it's never been fully resolved. However, it's amazing how the Lord brought blessing in
yeah.
in spite of that, because the whole, just the idea of us being more aware of how important peacemaking is
yeah.
and how important it is for us to be trained and to understand how important it is. We had them come out on some subsequent occasions and do seminars on peacemaking at our church. So even though the situation itself was the most difficult thing we've ever gone through, the Lord still brought blessing out of it.
That's
and
beautiful.
Used it in the larger church family to help us see the importance of that.
That's beautiful. It makes sense. You know, when you read, Jesus was just adamant that the church would pursue unity and pursue oneness. And yeah. you have a firsthand testimony of when that gets a little icky, what that can look like. And it can be a web, you know, as we were just talking yeah. a little bit ago yeah. of brokenness and dysfunction. And you know, it takes I've said many, many times from the pulpit, it takes everyone to create unity. the whole body.
Yes.
And a lot of times it just takes one or two to cause disunity. And that's how the enemy, he likes to work and often destroy. But God always does teach us something, even in those seasons where it just seems like I can't see the other side. Yeah. Tell me about when you're in a particular area for many, many years, you get to step back and see and see kind of the big C church. You've watched ministry change a lot, yes. I'm sure, over the years.
Yes.
Some for the good, a lot for the good. And then I'm sure some for, you know, it just seems like, man, I wish we could get back to the roots in this area. What would be those things today? And we'll start with the big positive ones that you see with the local church today that you're just, and not just Centerville Community Church, but the big, you know, the big C church around, local church around the world, that you just see that are so positive with, because there's a lot of, God is on the move, whether we see it or not, all the time.
Yes.
And what would be some of those things as your years of experience would point to, if you're just so thankful to see it?
A couple things. One would clearly be, I think a movement toward and an acceptance of understanding people's interpersonal relationships, and that coming to church on Sunday morning and just listening to a message and, you know, worshiping together and going home, this seems like there was a day when that was, you know, that's what church was all about.
Sure.
And yet I see people willing to get to really know each other and have relationships and community. We use the word community, but just because a group of people gather in a sanctuary on a Sunday morning doesn't necessarily mean that they really have a bond with each other, and they pray for each other on not just the surface issues, but the deep heart issues. Years ago, I remember a guy that his favorite question when he would talk to someone else, especially someone that he knew and that maybe he hasn't seen for a few weeks, and he would ask, "How is it with your soul?"
Hmm.
That is
a big question.
That's a question that is way beyond, you know, how you doing, how you been, you know. We can all say fine, never been better, but when someone says, "How's your soul?" That really goes deeper, and I just think there's an acceptance of that. There's a desire to move in that direction within the local church that maybe there wasn't a generation ago or two generations ago, and the importance of that.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The other thing I see is a little more. And this is something that's affected Susie and I in the last 6 or 8 years, an understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Now, in the Alliance, my goodness, one of our doctrines that Dr. Simpson talked about was the deeper life and the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But even having that as a doctrine, that can be one thing. Understanding on a daily basis, just like Jesus said, you know, John 14, 15, 16, the whole passage is about the Holy Spirit. And John 15, 5 is a verse that has resonated with me so much in the last few years. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing."
Mm.
I believe, because of the context of those three chapters, I believe what he was saying is, really, without my Holy Spirit within you, which obviously he was about to send after on the day of Pentecost, but without my Holy Spirit within you, empowering you, you can't do anything of eternal value. And we can do a lot of things, but we can't do anything of eternal value.
Yes.
So I think the church, in many ways, even in the Alliance, has begun to understand in a deeper way and recapture the need each of us have for a daily filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
And I'm so thankful for that because,
right.
I mean, without the Spirit in our lives, we really can't accomplish what God wants us to do. There's There's nothing worse than trying to do what God wants me to do, but in my own strength, no.
That's right.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fall flat on my face.
And how many times has he, I mean, I speak for myself personally, has he had to teach me the same old lesson over and over and over that, hey, let me remind you yet again, you are not going to be able to do anything. And if there's one thing I'm learning in my pastoral leadership in this season and in the past few years of just leading with my hands open of God, man, we want to follow your leading. Yes, you've given us minds to plan. You've given us abilities and gift sets, but we want to step into your best and be in the center of your will. And that's not going to happen outside of walking with the Spirit every single day. And so I regrettably and humbly say that lesson has had to be taught to me.
Oh,
it's like he gets the heavenly paddle out and smacks me upside one more time to say, hey, let me remind you, because you have forgotten of where your power and strength comes from, and it's not you.
It would be great if we could learn it once. You know,
that's right.
I got it, and I'm good.
That's
it's
right.
It's kind of like the Alliance used to use the terminology, second work of grace. Mm-hmm. And if that was a one and done, that would be fantastic, you know? But it is something that I need to learn. And almost on a daily basis. I mean, that's why, you know, the literal translation of Ephesians 5:18 is be being filled
yes.
with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So I need that fresh filling every single day.
Yes. Tell me about, you know, there's a lot of things I think we could probably, you get real negative real quick and create a big list of things we see in Christianity, in our world today, and in the church that we just think, man, we have lost our way.
Yes.
We could share a ton of those right now. What would be those, maybe, I don't know if there's one or two that'd be on your heart or on your mind as you think about the question, things that grieve you or hurt you as you think about what the church could be and should be, and yet we may be selling ourselves short. I think one would just be what you just said with that Holy Spirit filling, you know, without that, we're nothing. But where would the Lord lead your mind with that question of things that may, you look at the church and you think we could be so much more, the big C church around the world.
Yeah. Well, I have been thinking about this for quite a while. The thing that bothers me the most when I think of the larger church in general is the lack of unity within the church and among the church. This could be between denominations. It can be, you know, within a given community. You know, are the churches that really preach the gospel, are they working together? You know, they say we love Jesus, but what about, you know, loving each other? And I will say what I've experienced so far here in the Centerville, Dayton area with our own church is the various ministries where it's a coming together of a lot of different churches and ministries to for that common cause of reaching people for Christ. But in the larger church, I see a lot of exactly the opposite of what Jesus prayed for in John 17. Mm. He prayed, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. There's no greater unity than Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. The unity they have is absolute.
That's right.
And he said, I want my people, I want my followers to be one. There is so much pulling us apart in our world today in terms of the larger church.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go any further than what's on the internet, the blogs, the posts, the critical things. I've said to Susie different times, it seems like some people, all they have to do all day is sit there and write critical pieces about this brother, that sister, this denomination, that movement.
Yes.
Instead of praising the Lord, I mean, for what God is doing in the church as a whole. And it's almost like we know we're at war.
Yeah.
We know we're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 is clear. There's so many other passages we could look at. But instead of pointing our guns at the enemy, which is Satan himself,
that's
obviously
right.
It's not lost people, but it's the enemy, Satan.
Yes.
Instead of pointing our weapons at him, we're pointing them at each other.
Yeah.
And there's just so, there's a critical spirit. There's a, well, they're not like us. And you know, I think of that one instance where the disciples came to Jesus. Hey, should we tell that guy to be quiet because he's not one of us?
That's right.
And Jesus said, if he's not against us, he's for us. Yeah. Leave him alone. And there's just that attitude, unfortunately, of contention, and everybody's got a, every theological issue, got to dot every I, cross every T the way I do.
Yes.
Or I'm going to criticize you. And that grieves my heart because we have a lost world to reach.
Yes.
And we're getting down to the end of times. It's going to get worse and worse. We've got to be together. We've got to come together.
Yes.
So that's my biggest
problem. No, that is spot on. I mean, that's the thing that destroys churches. It destroys, I think it erodes the work of God inside of us when we allow that stuff. Especially as we're coming up on an election cycle God help me to, I want to be bold, but I also want to be slow to speak. I want to be quick to listen. I want to walk in humility with my fellow brothers, and especially those outside the Christian faith that we can, I've shared so many times on the weekends, like we have an opportunity to model something so different that what our world experiences every single day. And they can come in, and does it mean we gather around the campfire and agree on every single issue? Probably not, but we are rallied around the cross and the work of Christ and the ministry that he has for us. Yes. And there's nothing, we won't waver from that. And we do so with kindness and humility, and people see the fruit of the Spirit all over our lives. Yes. And I love that you shared that, because I feel like that's something we can let get out of hand. Even those of us that are committed to the church and committed to walking with Jesus every single day, we are not exempt from getting small once in a while through just a cutting word, or maybe saying something through a text or an email or a post that's not bringing glory and honor to God. Tim, you've had, I'm sure many, many moments where you've gathered around the families that you've had God's put in your care for shepherding, for loving, moments of loss, moments of just heartache and pain. And I have no doubt that just the amount of people that will listen to this, there will be some that they may be listening, trying to listen with fresh ears. And what's God speaking to me through this story? But also inside they're hurting and they are hopeless and full of pain. And what would be a word of encouragement that you could share with them to remind them that God is with them and that God is good, even in the midst of their hurt?
Again, I think of something, not that I learned years and years ago, but something the Lord is really teaching me every single day. And drawing me closer to himself. That is to seek him. Seek him. Yes. There's an old hymn that Dr. Simpson, founder of the Alliance, that he wrote years ago. And the words, I'm not going to get all the words right, but one of the verses says, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone."
That's good.
So what he was really saying was, we can ask God for all kinds of things, and we can be seeking him for what he can give us. And we need much. I mean, you know, we need maybe a physical healing. We need finances. We need the Lord to heal a relationship, whatever that might be. And it's wonderful to come to our loving Father and know that he does want to give us.
Yeah.
But our first priority, if we could just, and I'm learning this more and more, if we could just make our first priority, I want you. Yeah. I want to know you.
That's good.
I want to experience your presence. I want to know that this day, you know, whatever struggles I'm going through, that you are right by my side.
Yes.
And I believe that begins with, at least for me, it always has, setting that time aside each day. Um, you know, they used to call it devotions or quiet time or whatever term you want to use. But it's basically opening up the word and saying, Lord, speak to me. I want to read your word. I want to spend time in prayer. But more than anything else, I want to know you. I want to draw closer to you, and I want to feel the presence of your Holy Spirit in my life. It's just what you were saying a minute ago, Kedrick, about open hands.
Yeah.
Just, you've seen people sit in prayer with their palms up, and basically that's the posture of, Lord, I need you.
Yes.
And I want to know you. It's not what you're going to give me in terms of material things.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know your presence. I read that little book I can't even think of the author. It was it's been around for a couple hundred years, Practicing the Presence of God. And it's very, very old book, but I had never read it. I always heard about it a few months ago. I actually got out and read it. It's a tiny little book.
Wouldn't
take you a couple hours, but boy, what that to me is sums up what the Lord's been saying to me and what he's been doing in my life.
Yes.
Recently.
I love that. That's a good word. Hey, you've been, obviously you've walked through the membership process here and been here for, I don't know, a couple of years or shy of that. And, you come to CCC with fresh eyes. This is, I'm starting into year 8. Tell us, from whether there's people listening and have been coming here for a long time or they're fairly new, what excites you about Centerville Community Church, of what God is up to, and what you're looking forward to seeing God do, not only church-wide, but with some of our men's ministry initiatives as well that are going to be rolling out soon.
Yeah, three things real quick. First of all, I'm so grateful for a church like ours that really is serious about, doesn't just talk about outreach, but actually does it. And the list is, Pastor John has shared with us, a number of times, the list of things that we're involved with and that people can get involved with in the Dayton area and then out in the community. It's wonderful. I mean, just the closing of our VBS this year, this summer, the number of people who are here, the children that were touched through that.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful for that. Secondly, I'm very grateful for our Sunday morning worship time. Mm-hmm. This is the first time, for me, all my life, I've been the one in charge of the service and got to make sure everything's going to go smoothly and preparing for the sermon. But I come and I'm able to sit in the pew, so to speak, and worship and enjoy. And it's been such a blessing from the opening prayer, Pastor Anson, and the music each Sunday morning, the message always straight from the word and challenging. And it's just Sunday mornings. I can't tell you how many times Susie and I have gone away after the service and just said, oh, what a blessing it was to be here with our church family and to visit, before the service and after the service and to worship. So I'm thankful for that. And the third thing, just in the last few months, Pastor and Tom Culpepper and Paul Blend and I have met about men's ministry. And I'm excited about what God's going to do.
Same.
Because we believe God's given us a vision.
Yes.
For gathering small groups of men, just 3, 4, or 5 guys, and having those guys, encouraging those guys to meet on a weekly basis and really get to know each other.
Yes.
And Paul said, I want to know Christ. That was the theme of the Apostle Paul's entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have just felt very strongly one of the main ways we can get to know Christ is to get to know each other and what God is doing in each of our lives.
Yeah.
As men. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that kicked off in 2025.
Exactly. I'm excited for that as well. Well, Tim, I know for me and so many others at our church, we are so thankful you and Susie are here. Personally, So thankful. We have a lot of retired pastors that come to our church, and thankful for that. I love that. It's also intimidating a little bit on Sunday morning when you get up there and teach and know that, hey, there's guys that have been doing it 20, 30, 40 years out listening and worshiping with us. But I know from the bottom of my heart, you become not just a congregant here, but a friend, and love spending time with you. I shared even publicly when we did the ordination, the elder moment up front. Look forward just to learning from you through our elder and board meetings and growing and sharing ideas. And I love how God intersects stories at times. You never thought, you know what I mean? You never predicted it, never planned it. But God saw fit to bring you guys to Dayton. And then finally to be a part of our body here at this church, and then find yourself leading here at the church. And I just look and say, that's a very good God. And I'm so thankful for him and for you and your wife. And I know your kids in the area and your grandkids as well. What a huge, huge blessing to be back where you should be, right here in Dayton, Ohio, right? Where it all started. But I want to thank you for joining us today. I know that there was some encouraging words for those that listened. It's also just fantastic to get to hear your story more and get to know you more as one of our own and one of our elders here at the church. I was going to have you close. We've not yet closed one of our podcasts with a prayer. And I was going to see if you'd be willing to lead our listeners in a prayer, and then we'll wind it down. So thank you for praying. And as soon as you say amen, we'll wrap up.
All right. Oh, Father, it is such a blessing to be able to come, realizing there are any number of people who will be watching this podcast. And I just, you know, my prayer has been, first of all, that you'd be glorified through this and that you would speak to your people. And there would be words of encouragement that would go out and words of challenge that would go out. And I just want to ask your greatest blessing on this body of believers. You know each and every one, Lord, those that have been coming for many years, those that have just begun to come and are fairly new, as Susie and I are. But Lord, you've brought us together, and you want to continue to use us. Thank you for what you're doing here at CCC.
Yes.
Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. I just sense it more every Sunday morning, and any time we gather together, it's such a blessing to be a part of this group of believers. And I would ask for every family, every individual. I just pray, Lord, that we would be under the direction and the filling and the power of your Spirit so that we can do everything that you plan for us to do.
Yes.
We thank you for that, Lord. We claim Ephesians 2:10 over this congregation. Yes. And thank you that you have plans from long ago, and you're carrying them out right now.
That's great.
And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Listeners, I want to thank you for listening today. And God bless you, and we hope you have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Stories We Share podcast. The Stories We Share is a ministry of Centerville Community Church and is recorded by our lead pastor, Kedrick Hershey. If you have a story that you would like to share, we would love to hear it. Please reach out to us at office@centervillecommunity.org. And be sure to follow us on all of our socials. You can find us pretty much anywhere at Centerville Community. And we'll see you next time on the Stories We Share.